Good morning, LinkedIn friends, Value First Nation. Welcome to another episode of Value First AI Daily, your collaborative AI intelligence report. It is Thursday, September 25th, 2025. How are we doing, Nico?
Doing pretty good. Doing much better. Lot of exciting things coming down the pike. A lot of exciting things already released. Doing much better since I got my connection for both, which I'm not even sure when these connectors happen. A lot of stuff is just popping up this week, which is great. I think if anything, that's where we start today, which is like, hey, marketing 2025, or just like marketing in the age of AI, and what that and what GTM looks like more specifically.
Okay. I'm so happy with this.
Yeah.
Because I need to, I promised myself I would make this PSA in each of the first two shows today. and, you know, I was like, maybe I should let Nico know, maybe not. But that is just a perfect setup. This is how serendipity works, folks. This is the world that we're going into. It's just like the common sense stuff will all come together. Right. And I just saw this post from yesterday, because I think this gets at the heart of how everything is different. And I'm going to share my screen, and it's about email. And this whole idea that we own that as a channel, or just because we have an email address means we're in charge of anything at all, is just a fallacy, right? So... Well, Gmail's done it again. More new updates to make the inbox experience better for recipients, much to the chagrin of some senders. The promotions tab is getting ranked by relevance. Post-purchase mail is getting its own swim lane with dedicated purchases tab. And managed subscriptions makes pruning senders you no longer want to hear from effortless. Why does this change matter, given all the new features they've been rolling out recently? Because it means delivery does not equal visibility. Even if you send at the perfect time with the perfectly structured message of after 3 months, we figured out exactly what this audience wants and we know exactly the words they use. And we did all this testing and this is the best subject line, that all of it out the window. Folks, like, and you know what's being described here? Like a social feed is being described inside of Gmail. So if they're not expecting to hear from you, and AI, which is obviously involved here, can't sense any inkling of possible relevance, you're not showing up. All right. And just if you can, like, that, like, all the energy spent on email marketing, if you could bring it down to zero and put your energy in any of the other places that we're talking about, let your humans go be humans on social and with other people at events in person, just unbelievable ROI difference that you will feel. So I just needed to say this because this is indicative of, imagine a social feed experience inside of everybody's inboxes, and tell me why your email that they're not expecting matters.
And I mean, right? when I step back to think about it, this is so much of a larger scale thing, right? Because to me, this goes all the way down the line to your end user customer. Right. And what I mean by that is a lot of businesses, I'm not speaking to anyone in general. This is just, again, there's an evolution. This is a revolution. It's a revolution that's taking place. Right. We are forced to do it very quickly. And what I'm hearing a lot of is fail fast, because that's the quickest way to adapt right now. And it's true. But what really needs to happen is a change in mindset. And how does that happen in time with what Chris was saying? if you're spamming people with offers, offers aren't relative unless the, let's say, domain that the person signed up to is like discountcoupons.com. That's where relative, that's where the relevancy is. They signed up for discount coupons, email contains discount coupons, relative, put it in the promotions box or whatever, put it in their primary mailbox, right? If they are shopping for clothing and what you're sending them is 30% off this, 40% off this, 10% off this, you know, buy now, you know, buy one, get one, promotions box, because that's what you sent them. That's not anything about your product. That's not anything about your business. That's not anything. Basically, what Gmail is saying is they want content, not like not sale, right? And we're going to separate those two things now.
Yeah. And like not even just separate. Like, so even if you lean into that, which if it's a promotion, there's lots of ways to lean into that and do well. But if it's not relevant, just because you sent it at Monday morning doesn't mean they're going to show up in Monday morning and see it at the top if it doesn't relate to what they care about. And this is where, when you think about how clay works, like all these things, this is what that we talked. This is what AI does. It can see everything, right? Everything. So
it knows all the things.
It's best how Gmail and Google are doing that. Like if it's, if this person's not engaging with this message on social or anywhere else, it's looking at all the signals, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how it's doing this. So there's no tricking like your way into inboxes. There's no hacking the system anymore.
No, like the end result. And if it's, if this is what it sounds like to you, that's because this is the reality. Okay. And I know that it sounds like crackpot stuff. I know it sounds like we do nothing but say crackpot AI things all day, every day. And then a few months later, other people are saying them. And these other people are in like higher up positions or more well known or whatever it is. And then all of a sudden, the entire wave of the AI news changes and it's in that mode. So we're trying to tell you first before, so you can get a jump on it. What I can tell you is, start putting more care into your product, because that's what matters now. Like your ability to sell product through sale doesn't matter. So if your edge, if your moat was pricing, work on it, because that's not going to be a thing anymore. If like what I'm seeing now and like what I'm seeing expanded to the end of the market and where I was going with this all together, Gamma just dropped a new feature yesterday. It's a Wednesday, right? CapCut dropped a whole like suite of AI features on Tuesday. And I think also YouTube dropped a whole suite of AI features on Tuesday, right? There's no launch day. There's no first of the month. There's no seasonal launch. There's no, oh, we'll wait for Google I/O conference, or, oh, we'll wait for, you know, Gamma's going to wait for some conference or something like that. There's no pre-announcement. It's just, here you go. New things done. Here you go. How about it? Right. There's no, like, I don't get emails from Anthropic before features launch. I get them either the day of or like the day after. I don't get announcements that a new feature is coming because that's not relevant to me. I don't like, I'll know. Already, they know that we're paying attention. So they know they don't have to market to us and they don't have to market their product to us. If you guys want to find out like how you should be marketing in the age of AI, I don't know, follow AI companies. I like that's the, you know, ask it because it knows, right? Like do likewise because they are doing likewise. They are building the systems. So do you not think that they're going to market based on the systems that they are building? Right. So start adapting. Start watching how Google starts advertising. Watch. Look at how 11 Labs advertises. 11 Labs and Suno are only present to me where music is present. They only follow me wherever, like, I go to look at music stuff. If I'm not on a music, and I'm not even joking, if I'm on a music YouTube channel, I'll see a Suno ad. If I'm not on a music channel, I won't see anything related to, like, music AI. I'll see, like, OpenAI ads. Which, by the way, since the Super Bowl, how many times have you seen that ad? Yeah, they don't do that, right? Now, granted, I don't watch regular TV, so I don't see ads all the time either. But I don't hear about it, right? It doesn't seem like they spam everybody with their advertising. The first thing you get to when you go to their websites isn't sale and isn't like special pricing and isn't anything to do with that. It's all about, here's the product, use it. Or here's information about our product. Or even better, here's like security information about our product. Right? So, yeah.
And that's not even that. I love that last example. Like, here's security information. You can listen. AI can listen to the zeitgeist. And okay, everybody's talking about security today. Like, we don't know exactly who they are all the time, but we're just going to address this question, right? Because there's some people distrusting the situation and it's higher than normal. The signal's higher, right? So based on the signal, we are going to do this thing now. Like, it's putting yourself in a position to respond to signals, like real signals, not fake ones, not signals you made up in your conference room because you've decided this is your campaign schedule, this is your product launch schedule, this is the market you want to go after, right? It's completely flipped on its head. And if you can just take it back to first principle, everything gets easier. Because if I tell you that you can't hack anything, and there's no, like, the playbook, like, get playbooks, templates, it ruins everybody's ability to learn how to do this stuff. Just ask the two questions. Is this thing I'm about to do going to build trust? Or is it going to add value? If you can't say yes to either of those things, do not do it.
Yep. Yep. And it's, I mean, it really is that simple. Like, we talk about this all the time, that adapting to what's going on and adapting to an AI environment isn't difficult. It's really, I mean, it's not hard, but it is so very difficult. It's not difficult in terms of, like, you don't have to necessarily do anything different. You just have to change the way you approach things. You have to change the way that you think about things. You have to stop thinking about this limitation. You know, I was just having this conversation with my brother. So perfectly timed. We were talking about the fact that a new model just came out, a new physical model robot, a new hand was developed. And this thing is super dexterous. Like, it can do the whole coin between the fingers thing, right? And so that basically signifies that, like, okay, look, by the end of next year, robot plumber. So, like, all the people that were like, oh, physical work not going to get taken over till 2035. Well, we got a long way to go, you know, get back into trades. Nope. about a $2,000 robot will be meeting you at the end of next year that will definitely be doing, you know, hands-on work. You're going to see, like, hands-on machines in construction sites. You're going to see hands-on machines in plumbing companies. And what does that look like? Are entire people getting, you know, pushed out of their businesses and you know, machines just taken over altogether? No. I just heard of another business. I sent you the thing this morning. I forget, Oracle, I think, just launched an entire fleet of AI agents to their company.
Citigroup.
Yeah. And so basically, they just doubled their entire workforce. Because now, I say double, it's going to be more than that the more they get used to it and the more that they use it. It very quickly goes from double to triple. Man, I run like 4 Visual Studio windows at the same time. Because I can. because it takes the agents just long enough to finish the commands where I'm literally like, that's what work is to me now, is keeping up with my employees that are working on these projects that I've assigned them to. That's what work looks like now. So that means I am 4x more productive. Having me on your staff is like having four of me on your staff right now. Five, really, if I push myself and there's a project that like really requires enough length of time with the prompting and stuff, yeah, five. But the models move so quick. That's the only reason that I have four at a time. Once the models move faster, I don't know. Like I'll be asking them to do more complex things, basically, to try to get them to take more time to have to do them. But that's, I don't know. We'll see.
And building in layers of agents and the orchestration, right? The sooner that we can, like, once you know everybody's playing the exact note you need at the right time, So when you say you want growth, you want scale, you want those things in sustainable ways and in predictable ways,
mm-hmm.
there's no other way to get there.
Right.
Like,
because that's the thing, is this isn't like onboard, you know, like when your new employee comes on, you know, they take their notes, they do their onboarding, what have you, they've got their way of doing things. And after a while, things change, right? They start having like their own way that kind of morphs away from the way things are supposed to be done. But it's because they get it done and they do some shortcuts and they're able to do it, right? And now all of those shortcuts disappear because they have the extra time and or the agent is handling what the shortcut was doing. This is what we mean when we say augmenting the labor, right? Augmenting the person, because that's exactly what it is. It's taking the stuff away from you that you don't want to do in the first place. It's not taking away the stuff that you're really good at doing. The stuff that you're really good at doing is the whole point, right? We just want more of that. So we're taking away. Imagine if you were, I don't know, a doctor, right? And you were going through school and they were teaching you about fine arts and they said, yeah, but in order to be a doctor, you still have to have 12 hours of fine arts in your degree. How happy would you be about that shit? Right. You'd be about as happy as me having to take algebra while doing life drawing, right? Not exactly what's necessary. I get it. Calculating angles for the sun and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, not doing that. Just eyeballing it. Don't worry about it, right? So, yeah, it's the minutia. It's the stuff that no one wants to do anyway. And now you have Citigroup again. It's like basically doubling the size of that company. I can guarantee you, if you watch, if you don't believe me, watch Citigroup's earnings this quarter to next quarter. Compare Citigroup's Q4 to Q1, and I guarantee you, you're going to see a gain, and it's going to be a higher gain than was expected. And you'll see the same thing from Q1 to Q2, and it'll keep going throughout the year. And as soon as the other banks see it, look, I'm sure that Citigroup put it in place because JP Morgan's already got it in place. Goldman Sachs put theirs in place. So it's just a matter of time. For all the people that are like, it's really not trustworthy and we're not really sure security. Okay, well, the largest financial institutions in the world are using it now. So what are you scared of exactly? Is your information and your data more important than the entirety of the financial market? I didn't think so. So you can either get on board and stop worrying about the BS behind. Again, I haven't seen Anthropic hacked. I haven't seen OpenAI hacked. I haven't even seen Mixtral get hacked. Because they have AI at the front door. And having AI as your bouncer to your system is literally the best it gets.
And it's at the back door. And it's right. Looking from the rooftops.
Like, right.
It's just, there's no way. Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, it's across the building looking at it, right?
And you're thinking, like, just to bring it back to how we started, like 2025 difference, right? The basics mean more than ever still, right? In terms yep. of you have to understand the problem inside and out, and you have to understand how your audience, your intended audience, thinks, feels, approaches that problem, mm-hmm. right? And when you say like doubling your workforce, even if it's just like the marketing department is probably the easiest case to make, but if you don't understand this, these basics I just described, it becomes impossible to get the energy and effort and ownership of doing that. Because where this commonly goes wrong is, oh man, we're selling this product. You know, it's been an awesome run. We're feeling the cap of the market that we're in. So let's go find another market. Oh, this market has that problem too. I'm just going to go do the same thing over in that market. Right. The problem is that audience is completely different. They see the problem in a completely different light. Mm-hmm. And unless you want to, you know, sacrifice your dominant market, that team has to like completely focus on this other market. And guess what? If it took them as a resource to dominate in this market, it's going to take them as a resource to dominate in the next market and not half and half. You don't get to split them in half and see the same results.
Right.
So if you've developed the playbook of what works over here, then you need another team that can focus on that other market and get it right and nail it. That's where this AI layer can now come in. Mm-hmm. And that should be such an easy decision to make for, like, this happens in manufacturing all the time. But now in SaaS, I'm seeing it in other ways. Like that, those two elements, like if you've gotten so good at understanding what the problem is and effective ways to solve it, it becomes how do you create awareness and action around that problem with this group of people, right? And now what we're seeing, like the aforementioned email inbox, you don't just get to say, hey, this thing is available now. We know you have the problem, right? Yeah. If I've never looked into, like, if you've never engaged in my community, I will not see you, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why you need the separate resource so that AI can handle admin and your humans can go engage in that new space, in that new community and be seen, right?
Yeah, but you know what's going to happen, right? You know what's coming.
What's that?
They're gonna make agents. They're gonna make agents to go on their social channels and go, you know, fake talk to people. Zoom just released right. Lifelike Avatar, right? Like,
yeah, that's not, you know, it, folks.
I gotta tell you, like, the you're gonna be making such a huge mistake because you're just gonna M-dash yourself. Right? If you don't think that it's possible to tell the difference between these, it is. It is. It's very possible. You ask them enough questions, you get a goofy answer, all of a sudden you know you're not talking to the right person, right? How easy is that? You can ask them to tell you a joke, right? It's going to be a shit joke. It's like most normal people will just respond with, oh, I can't think of anything, right? Or like, I don't know any good jokes. It's not going to do that. It's going to try to facilitate, right? Like there's... Even in the way that it's going to talk in the channel, it'll be like almost too positive, too reinforcing, all that kind of stuff, right? We're too, like, humans are too flawed in these micro type ways for you to be able to get away with that before that level of marketing basically is extinct, right?
Yeah.
So that's what's going to happen, right? Like the more you force that kind of stuff. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but the more you force yourselves into the social channel instead of yourself being in the social channel. So the more you force your brand into it and some brand representative and that kind of thing, the faster you kill that social channel and force people to open up another one, right? Or to go to a different group altogether and somehow start to ignore your channeling altogether. So that's the thing. It's like, What is it that we used to say back in the day? Don't be a poser, right?
Like, yeah. And if like this is like, think back to chatbots, right? Like when they first started coming out, there's a way, like if you literally can't be there or you want to test, like embrace that, make sure everybody knows it's not you. You can create characters that show up and even say like, hey guys, like we're working on resourcing this area and this is our AI avatar. Like be super honest and transparent about it. Like a lot of the YouTube channels that are making money off AI avatars, they're not pretending to be other versions of themselves, right? They're leaning in to like, this is obviously not a human being, but hey, there's valuable information coming from this space. So that's where, like, so you have the trust, like, hey guys, yeah. Like not a human being, right? That alone, like, because we do sense it immediately, right? And it's like, if you, like, so if you were to do that and say, this is how I'm going to show up in this new market, like, if it looks like you're human, and I've never seen you before, I automatically start asking questions.
Right.
Right. Versus if it's some cartoon character or whatever, it's like, oh, this is new. Right. Like it's a completely different set of questions, but it's not like questions to be like, what's going on here? Like we're already at time.
Yeah. I know.
It's just like, marketing to an audience, no longer possible, right? You have to market with them, market for them, like this whole collaborative spirit. You have to convert with them. They will not convert without you. And that's what it means to be in the market and not go to the market. And if you're not in the market, it's going to get harder and harder and harder to be relevant and timely always. Right. And that is crushing price right now in terms of things that people care about. Right. So we'll be back tomorrow. This was a fun one. Have a great Thursday, everybody. See you, Nico.
See you.